It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. I treasure you. You have a purpose. Live with intention today and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, you are just doing an amazing amount of work right now. I so appreciate you.
Well, thank you for that. And again, I guess I'm the spearhead here of this group in terms of the people that you recognize as being a part of your crew. And we're thankful for you.
Well, I appreciate that. So it's a love fest this morning. And guess what? Brad Beck is in studio. I love it when we have a love fest here.
That's awesome. Good day, Kim. How you doing?
I'm well. It's good to have you here.
Well, it's good to be here. It's a beautiful day. And I'm looking out at the studio here in the beautiful Colorado mountains and the flag flying. And it's a great day to be alive and be in Colorado.
It is. And Brad Beck, we are here, I'm convinced, for a purpose. As we have looked throughout history, each generation has to step into their time. And this is our time. You have been equipping people to step into this time by getting their brains around these issues and helping them find their voice and listen to others and engage in this battle of ideas. And that is your co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters.
It's a great organization to be able to do that. And to be with great people that want to listen, but also want to engage and help others achieve their goals. And basically, everybody can speak. The question is, are you being heard?
True that. True that. And tomorrow's Liberty Toastmasters Day on the show, and we'll be talking with some of our colleagues. The subject is leadership. And the other thing is, it seems like in this day and age, everybody wants to be a leader. But I think actually, people, sometimes in your life, you're presented with leadership, and sometimes you're presented with supporting and following. And so you can't just be this leader 24/7. And anyway, I'm really excited about having everybody on tomorrow.
That's awesome. Looking forward to listening.
I wanted to mention, Steve, that on that intro where you had pulled the piece about, I had said something about, I see big danger in the fact that we might have unelected bureaucrats make rules and regulations about what we would inject into our body. That was recorded way before COVID. Can you believe that?
That might have been even, well, let's see, I don't have the exact date. I could look at the file date, but that might even be pre-Polis.
It might be.
But would you bring up that whole issue of unelected bureaucrats and, you know, people who are in control, it's been the theme of the Polis administration so far.
It really has been. And what I didn't realize when we were talking about that is I saw this danger with bureaucrats. But what has actually happened generally, I mean, you see that you have the bureaucrats that are coming through these health departments. And they're making recommendations and coercion, saying to businesses, if you don't do this, then you won't keep your license. And I never saw that coming, Brad Beck.
Well, what's interesting, I just read something where now they have immunity. Those folks from the different bureaucratic health departments, just like a policeman or a fireman, if something happens. So when people show up at their houses to protest, the Polis administration is giving them the same types of protections as anybody in first responders. And I thought, why are they getting it? I mean, they make decisions. They should be held accountable for those decisions.
Well, they should. And, you know, here in Colorado, we had a bill go through I can't remember what the number was, but which was taking away what's called qualified immunity for police officers. And Alan Thomas, another one of our guests and authors, had challenged this idea of qualified immunity. And he actually, when you unpeeled it, it made sense. And the next thing that I was thinking is, well, wait a minute, bureaucrats and politicians should not have qualified immunity either. Then if they make decisions like Andrew Cuomo, who actually put COVID-infected people into nursing homes, 15,000 people died, maybe he should be held accountable for that, Brad.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing about all this, is that there's a process, and it's called elections. And if they're fair and people are able to vote people in, they can vote them out. The question is, most of these politicians these days are abdicating to professionals, executives, bureaucrats, and those folks have no repercussions if they make a decision that affects people, because they're looking at all the different aspects as, quote, an administrator, and then there's no responsibility after they make it.
Well, and you're talking about the fourth branch of government.
Yeah.
And that is the bureaucratic administrative state, which the founders could see something like this, and they saw the big danger in that. And what you've mentioned is that politicians have abdicated those decisions, the hard decisions, over to somebody that is unelectable, that is unaccountable, so they don't have to be accountable to the people and then ultimately stand for a re-election. So we need to really walk this baby back, I think.
I think so. And more importantly, be involved. Be aware. I was at a meeting last night with a group of ladies, and they were saying basically what we were talking about, but they all said, where are our leaders? And somebody said, we're the leaders. We need to be the people and be responsible. It's not about who you elect. It's holding those people we elect accountable.
Most definitely. And that is, we need to be electing people that want to conserve, conservatives, that want to conserve this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And we need to take back the language. Producer Steve and I were talking on our pre-call this morning. And Steve, you made a really interesting point, because Patty has in the packet, and you also mentioned it, that it's on the news that there's a number of counties in Oregon that have voted that they want to, or they've said that they want to secede from Oregon, which is out of their minds politically, and become part of Idaho. And you said something about awakening. And there, I think we are seeing this awakening, and that is looking into the future. That is something that is happening now versus woke, which that's something past tense. I thought that was pretty cerebral of you, Producer Steve.
I know. Oh, man, you're going to get me in trouble. Now, we all hear of states like California and New York who are actually losing population because people are going to places where they won't be so badly impacted by the lunatics on the left. And all right, that's an individual decision, but now we have what you just talked about going on in Oregon, and right here in our own state, it's come at us twice now. We hear about Weld County being possibly absorbed by Wyoming.
Yes, and
you got to ask why.
And I tell you what, if you have been in one of these states and you've left it because of bad public policy, don't vote for people that still have that same bad public policy, Brad Beck.
Well, there's a lot of friends of mine that are moving out of state, friends of yours.
I know.
And that's disheartening, but they're going to find the same types of bureaucracies and problems in those states. They may be a little slower, but it's all over. And it's endemic in the culture. And what we have to do is change the culture. It's not necessarily the politics. We've got to talk to our friends, our neighbors, our sphere of influence, and really ask them, why are they doing one thing but saying another?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should be congruent in what they're doing and following up in a way that is in their self-interest, and oftentimes it's not.
And I almost feel that it's somewhat by design. People are trying to live their lives, right? Jobs, family, take care of their house, their home, and there is just this barrage of information coming at them. And sometimes it's like, I think I'd rather just put on some music and forget it. But that is why we do this show. Right. And that is why we do all the things that we do, is to help you. And I've thought a lot about this, Brad, because people have said, you know, I have all these different women's groups. And any of you women out there, if you would like to either start one of our Tapas and Topics groups, or if you would like to find out where we have some of the different groups, there's one in Fort Collins, Boulder, North Denver, South Jeffco, Lone Tree, one starting in Northern Douglas County, and another one in Parker. Let me know. But people have said, so what are you doing? What's your agenda? And we do a lot of different things. But what I've seen is that as women have gotten their brains around these issues and we talk about them, it's not just talking at people, but there's something powerful, Brad, about being able to just stand up and say your name and say, I care about this issue. I have seen, instead of marching orders, and we've had different things to do, but the real goal has been to empower them to be able to engage. And I know that's another thing that you're doing with Liberty Toastmasters.
Well, everybody wants to be heard. And so in Toastmasters, what we do is we do a lot of listening. We listen to speeches. We have evaluators, general evaluator of the overall meeting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of listening going on. That doesn't happen in most of our lives.
Right.
We're being told. We're being bombarded, as you mentioned. I'd suggest turn off the news and read something. Or read the newspaper, read your blogs, read your different sources. But by reading, you slow down. The sound bites in the news, especially on, if you watch the local news, it's, you know, who got shot, what's burning, mm-hmm. and, you know, how much does this cost for the new project? And then, you know, it's boom, 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 and you get nothing. You get headlines.
But you also get tense.
You get tense, and you get built up. So if you read, it slows down the process. You start asking yourself, why are they doing this? Who's doing it? Who's behind it? And you start finding yourself going down that rabbit hole. I mean, it takes me a long time now to read the paper because I'm always going, wait a minute, what's the behind the story here?
I know.
As opposed to the soundbite.
Read the paper?
Yeah, you know what? It's a thing of with paper and print and pictures.
What was our inspirational quote
earlier
in the week?
Mark Twain, he says that if you read the newspaper...
Well, let's back up. If you don't read the newspaper,
you're uninformed.
Uninformed.
If you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
Yeah.
So, hey, we're going to go to break. Actually, in this great conversation, let's talk to Dr. Jill Vecchio in the second segment and then do some of our things that we normally do in the third segment as we get into talking about your op-ed, The Collection. And that is one of your gifts, Brad Beck, is you are able to take everyday events, and this is a story about your granddaughter, and pull out of it some really great nuggets of wisdom. And so we'll talk about that. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, the Avs are in the playoffs, and they won last night. They beat the St. Louis Blues 6-3. That was game two. Game three is tomorrow night, and game four is on Sunday. And as we talk about stepping back and reading, there's also something great about stepping back and getting together with friends. It's great around a sporting event. Hooters Restaurants, you can go there to watch the game. They have all kinds of specials. Or you can get something to go, take it home. And, of course, you can have it delivered as well. They have all these different specials. Go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can also click on the Sponsors tab, and all of my sponsors will come up. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab, and you'll see all their specials. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Dr. Jill Vecchio is going to give us an update. Last week, we talked about these two little girls from Africa that Jill and a number of docs and her friends and neighbors are working to try to get to America for medical care. And they jumped through all the hoops. And then they were not granted their visa. Well, on the other hand, we have thousands of people coming across the southern border illegally. So Dr. Jill Vecchio is on the line. She's going to give us an update on that. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. My friend Brad Beck is in studio. He is one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters. He's a speaker. He's a writer. And in the third and fourth segment, we'll talk about your op-ed, The Collection, which you wrote, you took something that happened with your daughter, not your granddaughter, a long time ago, and are really able to give us a life lesson on that.
Well, that was the purpose. I think we learn better through stories rather than facts and figures. Facts and figures are not remembered very long, but stories are.
It's true. I do actually like facts and figures, but I do remember stories better than that. So.
Absolutely.
But let's talk to Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She is one of the few people in America that read the Complete Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare and the PPACA.
Also Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. No, she had to pass it so she could see what was in it, and I don't think she ever read it. But Dr. Jill Vecchio shared with us a story last week about two little girls from Africa that they're working to try to get to America for medical care, one of them to save her life. And they jumped through all the hoops, and then they were denied. Dr. Jill Vecchio, I'm hoping you have some good news today. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, or I shouldn't say good morning, Kim and Brad. It's good to hear from you.
Happy belated birthday.
That's right. Oh, Jill, that's right. Happy birthday.
It was a good day. I got my house cleaned by somebody else.
So what's going on with these little girls?
We still have hope.
Yay.
We still have hope. And you know, part of the problem is, you know, navigating a State Department system when, you know, we've got this mother superior and, you know, she's got a language barrier, probably has the equivalent of, she had schooling that was normal for the Congo, which is really once you finish that kind of primary and secondary schooling, you probably have an equivalent to an eighth grade of education in the U.S., even though our education system isn't all that great these days. But
making a note, an eighth grade education, Jill, an eighth grade education, I would recommend that our listeners do a web search for the Saline County, Kansas, eighth grade exam from 1895. That eighth grade education would there's PhDs that couldn't answer those questions. So, but
it's
today,
amazing how well-read people used to be.
Amazing, yeah. Yes. So, and so let's just set this up just a little bit more. These little girls are in an orphanage in the, I think you said it's the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and there's nothing democratic or Republican about that. It's a dictatorship.
They have a constitution, but they completely ignore it.
Oh, sounds like some place else I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of similarities in reading through it. And let me tell you a little something more about the Congo, because in looking up this, trying to get the visa information and figure out the State Department and what they want and everything for these little girls, what kind of documentation we need to provide, part of the problem is when you find a little kid in the street or a little kid shows up on your door or is dropped at your doorstep or you find a baby in a trash can, how do you determine who it belongs to? How do you establish guardianship without spending a whole lot of money and going through all of these hoops from the Congolese government?
Which would make it then,
you know,
difficult.
How do you go about establishing guardianship? And that's the problem. They think she's stealing these kids or something. She's like, you know, they're in my orphanage. I have a... She has some documentation saying she's running this orphanage. These two girls are in the orphanage, but that wasn't good enough for the State Department. And yet, these little kids, there are something like 8 million children living on the streets in, I think, there's just the capital city of Kinshasa alone.
8 million?
8 million. It's a war-torn country, constant skirmishes. The government, and this is from state, U.S. State Department documents, evaluations of the Congo, like this is the state of the Congo in 2020. It's unbelievable. They think that little girls can provide magical protection from rebel troops. Essentially, the government is fighting its own people. So the people and the government are having this constant war going on. And it's been going on for like 30 years.
Well,
they use little girls at the front lines to protect the troops because they think the little girls are magical.
Oh, yeah, right.
They think the little girls will repel the bullets. They kidnap kids and put them into conscription to fight in their skirmishes. And even the government does this. Now, tell me that refugees coming from Honduras and Central America have more right to refugee status in the United States than anybody coming from one of these other countries like this.
Well, and again, we talked about
we're not asking for refugee status even. But
we're just asking for
like
medical care.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Temporary visit.
Okay. So what's going on? When we talked a few days ago, you said that you've been working with Representative Lamborn's office, and they're trying to help you out. What's going on all that?
At this point, we're not sure. Did she fill out the wrong visa? Because the form letter that Mother Superior got when the visas were denied by the U.S. Embassy in the Congo, when they were denied, the form letter said either you didn't prove to us that the kids were going to be returning to the Congo after their visit to the United States, and she had plenty of documentation saying that, but they didn't look at those documents. They didn't even look at all of the papers that she had from hospitals and doctors. Didn't even look at them. They just interrogated her, intimidated her, and she went out just sobbing. She was just hysterical when she left because they were so mean to her. So they didn't even look at any of the documentation we had that would have proven that these little girls were they're going to come here and they're going to go back. Then, and the form letter also said, or you filled out the wrong visa application. Well, I'm sorry, you could have two form letters that can say, which one was it? Did I not prove to you that the girls were coming back, or did I fill out the wrong visa form?
Right.
So just to make sure, we're going to start all over again. Now, I have to say, the State Department website has been great. Lamborn's office was great. Also, Michael Bennett had a gal at his office that was really good, Priscilla. She was very, very helpful.
Okay.
But apparently, you only go through one congressional office at a time. So it's not like I can have 10 different congressional offices trying to help us out. You have to pick one.
So have you picked one? Or?
Well, I think, Doug Lamborn's gal was just very passionate about what we're doing. But also Michael Bennett's office was really great, really,
okay.
really great.
Okay.
So, it's not like one was better than the other. And,
even though he's terrible on policy, at least his office was good on at least his office was good on this, but he's terrible on policy. I just have to tell you.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's better maybe to work with somebody that you politically agree with otherwise.
Yeah.
All things considered, all things equal.
Okay. Well, time is of the essence. You said maybe, was it Sarah? That she,
right.
she's just, I mean, if she doesn't get here, she's going to die. And so
we don't know what's going on with her. We just,
okay.
Now they are still working her up there, so we're sending money there for her to be worked up. But you consider
and what does worked up mean, Jill?
Kids,
take care of her.
Just,
does that mean?
Well, they're trying to figure out what's wrong with her, but their approach is bizarre.
Okay.
They did surgery first. And now they're doing an ultrasound.
Oof.
So it's like, okay, that's a little backwards.
Oof.
Let's do the imaging first. And so, but the education there, the level of medical expertise is just not there.
Sure.
And the access is really difficult. And to be honest, the doctors don't really understand why we're even bothering with this little girl.
Oh.
It's a dime a dozen. Kids die all over the place. There is something like a 90% mortality rate for children under 5. Infant mortality rate. It said on the website, on the U.S. State Department website, it said a 99% infant mortality rate. Like 99% of kids die before the age of 5. I cannot believe that that's real. I can't believe that that's right.
Yeah.
But
okay.
And okay. it's a monstrous infant mortality okay. for kids to even live to be 5 years old. So they're a dime a dozen. It's like a commodity, not even a commodity. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't really care. It's weird.
And I tell you what, a society that doesn't care about their children does not last long, because our children are our future. Hey, Dr. Jill, before you go, tonight we are doing something really cool, and that is as our first Kim Munson Salon Series web event, and we'll have some of these in person and some of them on the web. We have created a studio in my basement. And you are one of the panelists for our first Candid COVID Conversations. I am so excited about it. You're going to be talking about medical aspects, about the virus and the symptoms and the treatment and the vaccine, which is still an experimental drug. A lot of people don't realize that it's not been approved by the FDA. And I am so excited about that, Dr. Jill.
Yes, this is going to be a fun event. And it'll be nice to have, you're having several speakers, and we're going to be covering all different aspects of it and taking questions and things. So it's going to be nice to have like one consolidated discussion, I think.
It really is. And so you can go to my website, kimmunson.com, to purchase your ticket. The tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee, or as Karen Levine says, they're $6. But it's going to be from 6 to 8 tonight. Dr. Jill Vecchio will be one of our panelists, as well as Matt Durkin regarding crime and COVID. Priscilla Ron, who is the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP, she's an educator. We're going to be talking about education. And then Sue Kenfield is an expert in our mental well-being and resiliency. And she'll be talking about this. And all this subject is the brainchild of Ramey Johnson, who is a councilwoman out in Lakewood. So, Dr. Jill, I can't wait to see you later today.
Yes, I can't wait to see your new studio.
You betcha. Okay, so thanks. Keep us up to date regarding these little girls. And again, join us tonight. So we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. Did you buy your ticket to Candid COVID Conversations yet?
I have not yet. I don't get comped. You know, I don't, you know, get a freebie, taken care of, VIP status.
You want a free lunch? Are you kidding me?
I'm just teasing you.
No. There's no free lunches.
I'm like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get no respect, right?
True that. Jason McBride, what's going on with this market?
Boy, it has been pretty crazy recently. Yesterday, we had all kinds of things going on. Bitcoin dropped 30% at one point during the day and then recovered most of that. And, you know, that was all attributed to tweets by Elon Musk that maybe he didn't like it anymore or was selling some. Maybe he was, and maybe he likes another cryptocurrency. So just a lot of innuendo and rumors and speculation caused tremendous volatility there. We also had some minutes from the Fed meeting that came out that indicated really all it said was that not every single member is now 100% in agreement that the Fed should continue asset purchases to keep interest rates low. Well, you know, any mention that, you know, the Fed's not going to be providing all kinds of liquidity or free money to the markets is going to cause some issues. So, yeah, the markets at one point yesterday early, the Dow was down over 500 points, nearly 600, Kim. Now, it recovered most of that and closed down about 164 at the end of the day. So far, most of the indexes are still holding at or a little bit above what would be considered some significant support levels. But definitely seeing some volatility here, some cross currents in the market that are a little bit concerning, especially after you have had a market that has gone up as high as it has, and you know, with a questionable economy and questionable employment numbers too.
Well, and it doesn't have to be questionable. It is, we now understand that this is from public policy. And these inflationary fears that we have that are occurring, I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Susan Rice have only been in office for hardly 100 days. And we've seen our fuel prices go up 30 to 40%. Jason, I got my car serviced yesterday, and I love the place I get it done at and the technician as well. But he said, Kim, I want you to know that we have new pricing on this. I just did a quick calculation on it. It is at least over 30% that they are increasing the prices to get my car serviced. And so these are goods and services that everyday people, you know, need and have. And because of policy, it's because of policy that we have this happening. But that's why people need to sit down with you, Jason, and work out their plan. We know we have a lot of unknowns, but work to address those and take care of the knowns that you have. How can people reach you?
Well, Kim, I think that's a good point. You can't address every single unknown that's out there. You can address some of them and do the best you can, and the best way to start that is to at least have a decent, understandable plan in place. So to talk to us about that or anything else having to do with your personal economy, give me a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Okay, Jason McBride, thank you so much. And you can buy your Candid COVID Conversation ticket at my website, kimmunson.com.
I heard you. I know.
Okay, Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. We're going to go to break. Brad Beck is in studio. He has written an op-ed. It's on my website called The Collection. And it is a story about his daughter. And really, he's taken something that happened between her and your father, correct?
Correct.
And really given us a life lesson on that. So stay tuned. We have a few other things. We need to go through the bill of the day as well as our quote, because I pull that specifically for you. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you. We are an independent voice. We purchase our airtime so that we can say what we want to when we want to. And I appreciate each of you that are helping us be on the air as we look at these issues of the lens, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and searching for truth and clarity in these issues. So thank you so much. And another great show that we have is our America's Veterans Stories. And in fact, I'm going to be speaking this afternoon regarding our America's Veterans Stories with a group, and I'm excited about that. And if it wasn't for Liberty Toastmasters, I wouldn't be doing this.
Well, you've come a long way, Kim. I remember that first time you came, and it was like a tree in winter just shaking.
Oh, I was, yeah. Literally. Could you see me?
I could, but, you know, that's awesome because you came in and you still, through your fear, stood up in front of your peers. And at the end of the 4 to 7 minutes, whatever it was, you let out a big breath, like most beginning speakers do. And you were fabulous. And you've come from that to where you are today. You got a radio show.
I know. And it really is. Liberty Toastmasters has been a gift. And that is something that, as a co-founder, you have given hundreds of people their voices. Or maybe their voices were there. You've helped them to be able to engage in these conversations and, again, to listen.
Better said, yes.
And guests are welcome. So let's explain that just very quickly. There's two clubs, correct?
Yes, there's one in Denver. We meet at the Independence Institute on the first and third Saturday of the month from 10 to 12 because we meet twice a month. We have a longer meeting. Mm-hmm. And that way we usually have 3 to 4 speakers, 3 to 4 evaluations, as well as what we call speaking extemporaneously, table topics. Mm-hmm. So you're asked a question and you can answer the question or you can pivot and say, that's a great question. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to talk about my dog, the weather, the world, whatever you want to do. The second club is up in Longmont. We meet at the American Legion on the 2nd and 4th Saturday of the month. Uh-huh. And again, from 10 to 12.
And guests are welcome.
Always welcome.
And so how can people get more information?
They can go to our websites. We have one for each one of the clubs, LibertyToastmastersClubs.org. And you can go to the international website at Toastmasters International, or just Google Toastmasters or DuckDuckGo Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. It'll come up.
Okay, well, great. And again, you are helping people find their voices. And I never dreamed that I would be on the radio. And that whole thing started just as a hobby. And again, the first time I sat down behind the microphone, I could hardly get my name out.
Sure.
And here we are.
Here we are. We're having a conversation.
Yes, we are. You never know what's going to happen.
What's always funny about that, Kim, is when I meet new people who want to speak or have a new job, a new position, mm-hmm. and they say, oh, I'm so afraid of public speaking. I said, what's the difference between we're having coffee now, sitting down? The only difference is when you speak in public, you're standing up. And people will always say, well, they're judging me. No, they just want you to be great.
They do.
And so all you have to do is practice to get there. And that's what we do in Toastmasters.
Well, and so join us. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Also, we did a spot before in this last break, and that was regarding America's Veteran Stories. You will not want to miss this week either. Colonel Bob Fisher, and he is the guy that really put together this book, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. And he's going to give a kind of a bigger picture of the Vietnam War. He was over in Southeast Asia early in the 60s, and he realized that we were going to be fighting a different kind of war, a guerrilla war. And he said that he went back to, I think it was the War College, and said to the brass, we need to be preparing for this. They're like, oh, no, we don't. And in fact, I think he told a story. One of the guys said, we will never fight a guerrilla war. And then they ended up being friends, but the guy ended up being surrounded by 20,000, I think, North Vietnamese. And he's like, oh, yeah, we are. So anyway, it's really interesting. And we need to know our history. And so the show America's Veteran Stories is on from 3 to 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon and then 10 to 11. Let's go to our quote for the day. And I chose this because you talk about this gentleman quite often, and that is Jeffrey Gittimer. And he is an American author, professional speaker, and business trainer who writes and lectures internationally on sales, customer loyalty, and personal development. And he was born in 1946. And he said this, Brad Beck, he says, obstacles can't stop you. Problems can't stop you. Most of all, other people can't stop you. Only you can stop you.
Absolutely. Well, people rain on your parade because, as he says, they don't have a parade of their own. You have to go create your own parade. And when you're over the target, or when you're doing something that you want to do, that's your passion, guess what? There's going to be criticism. Because just like crabs, people are going to pull you down back in the pot. And what you have to do is listen to them and then say, okay, great, thank you for that, and just move on. Because you know you're right. There's always adjustments, but what happens is people are always putting up obstacles, and you have to persist. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this little story here about persistence.
Okay, we'll get to that here in just a minute. Our bill of the day is Senate Bill 21-190, and it's to protect personal data privacy. And it does have bipartisan support, Senators Rodriguez and Lundeen, Paul Lundeen out of El Paso County. And this piece that Patty pulled from the Colorado Sun explains it. It says, the proposed Colorado Privacy Act, which borrows from California and Virginia's laws, gives consumers the right to tell companies not to track their personal data and delete existing information. But it doesn't necessarily mean that companies will. It's a step in the right direction. But it says, after Robert Rodriguez got a COVID-19 test last year, he had to log into the testing company's site to get his results. But to see them, he needed to verify his identity. And the questions were like, what month was your mother born? Which of these four cars did you own when you were younger? What county does your address reside in? Which was a rental property I owned? And that was a rental property he owned, said Rodriguez. And he said, I'm like, why do they have all of this? I've had to do that, and I thought the same thing. How is this happening? Or have you ever gotten in your car and your phone, it pops up and it says 17 minutes home or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't
really
like that.
I don't either.
And a part of it comes from convenience. It's also cool to be able to take your phone and say, how long will it take for me to get from here to there? But with anything that's good, there can be something bad. And there is something bad, very bad going on about this, Brad. So this is a step in the right direction, but coming from California and Virginia, I don't see them as the real gurus of public policy, so I'm not sure I totally trust that. But it's at least a step in the right direction.
We've advocated a lot of our own personal privacy by engaging with these new technologies, and you never know where they're going to end up.
I know.
That's the scary part.
And next week we'll be talking with John Spence and Joe Weiss, who they are cybersecurity, homeland security, control systems, EMPs. And that's going to be super enlightening. We have all these great conveniences, but yet we're abdicating and giving a lot of our freedom away for that. And so I think we need to start to walk this back. So good for Senators Rodriguez and Lundin for at least making a step in the right direction on this, Brad.
Yeah, no, it's great opportunity for people to support something that's not going to cost the taxpayers more money. Which so many of the bills, you wonder why they're running them and what's the cost. And there's never that appendage to a bill anymore.
I mean, there's supposed to be a fiscal note, but
it's hidden. It is.
It really is. I think it is hidden. Let's go to break just a tinge early so that when we come back, we can focus on your op-ed, the collection, and the things that we can learn from that. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of mine. And people are getting out now. They're having weddings. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to get a wedding gift. In fact, I've gotten a couple of wedding gifts, beautiful steak knife sets, and the bride and groom have loved them. And Father's Day is coming up. So whether or not your father is a chef or a sportsman or he needs something for the garage, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. So check out their website. That's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Brad Beck.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and go to my website, KimMunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Buy your ticket to Candid COVID Conversations, which is our web event tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. Tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee. You can buy that at KimMunson.com. And thank you for each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as well. I so appreciate you. In studio with me is Brad Beck. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. There's a couple of clubs, one that meets at the Independence Institute and then one up in Longmont. Love to have guests. You can get more information at LibertyToastmastersClubs.org. That's LibertyToastmastersClubs.org. Tomorrow is Liberty Toastmasters Day on the show.
That's right.
Going to be talking about leadership.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. And I'll mention that if somebody has a group of people that want to get together and charter a club, it takes 20 people to get together, put their names in a hat, become a club, go through the paperwork, and I'm happy to be there. The difference with the Liberty theme is we take the idea of individual rights, mm-hmm. the proper role of the limited government, mm-hmm. and to be active and engaged citizens, and we theme all of our meetings around those ideas based on the founding fathers, the documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, things of this nature that were important to the founding of our country, and it's like an elevated club. We use all the same techniques and all the same pieces and parts from a traditional Toastmasters club, but we theme the meeting.
And several things, speeches, and then the evaluation component, which and everybody signs up for these different roles. I'll tell you that evaluation component helped me significantly when I was on city council because it helped with my listening skills and then how to respond. But then table topics, which is what we're going to do tomorrow, is typically impromptu speaking. And it's 2 to 3 minutes long. And it's, I think that that is really, really important, because as we are finding our voices and then going to city councils or school board meetings or down at the state house to testify during public comment, you typically only get 2 to 3 minutes. And people say, oh my gosh, only 2 to 3 minutes. In a country song, there's a lot that can happen in 2 to 3 minutes. And so it's an excellent discipline to help people as they are finding their voices so that they can then go and be heard.
Well, the Gettysburg Address was a little over 2 minutes, and we still know that.
Yes.
And so you can have impact in 2 to 3 minutes. The question is, how many words are you writing? And it's about editing what you're going to say to its essence and get to the core and have that message touch the heart before it touches the head. That's why stories are important. And you can do that, but you need to practice it.
Well, and the left is excellent at this. And sometimes I've been sitting there and I'm like, I'm not sure I think that story's true. But it still was effective.
It's a story.
It's a story. Let's talk about your story in the op-ed that you did, the collection, and the nuggets for life that you got out of that.
Well, I'm always observing. I mean, when you're living your day-to-day life, you're always looking around, but you have to have your antennas up. And by just observing and listening and relating what that personal experience was, you can find something in there that will touch you, and you can utilize that, similar to a city council meeting or a PTA meeting. What was the personal experience, and how can you relate that to your day-to-day life that will have impact and get people to see your point of view and to persuade them? So often, you know, people will say things from a passionate standpoint, but my goodness, if you're yelling and screaming, are you going to listen? Absolutely not.
Right.
But if you're telling your story and you're drawing people in because they're interested, one of the greatest lines is, once upon a time, we were all taught that. That brings you into the story. And then, so, interesting thing happened when my daughter was about 9 years old. My parents took her down to Disneyland. We lived in Southern California at the time. And she spent a great day with her grandparents, and they did all the rides and the food and all that good stuff and had a great day. And then they were going down the fabulous Main Street USA of the time past. And of course, all those buildings are colorful and they have the flashing lights. And they went into a gift store. And my daughter grabbed my dad's hand and they walked almost immediately to this beautiful display of these shiny Disney characters. And my daughter stood there in front and my dad's looking around.
And she's nine.
And she was nine at the time.
Okay.
She said, Grandpa, I need these. These will finish my collection. And my dad looked at her and said, well, okay, pick out one or two, you know, and I'll buy them for you. I mean, you're a grandmother. I'm a grandfather. You can't resist a kid, right? So my daughter's standing there and she's like, oh, Grandpa, I really need these to finish my collection. And if I get these right here, I'll finish it. And my dad hems, okay, you know, he wants to go get back to where we lived at the time. And he bought everything. And it was all wrapped up. And here my dad and daughter and my dad, my mom come back to the house, dropping off my daughter. And she bounces in the house. Daddy, Mommy, look at what I got from Grandma. And they called her Giggy, your grandmother. And she starts unraveling all these little packages and the paper's crinkling and she's putting one here and one there. And my dad looks at her and says, Melissa, why don't you go get the rest of your, you know, figurines and we'll put them together and we'll look at your collection. And I'm standing there, collection? What collection? And he said, well, Melissa said if I bought all these figurines, it would finish her collection. And I wanted to help her do that. I said, Dad, you've been had. You just bought her the collection. She doesn't own any of these
So it
figurines.
Did complete her collection.
It did. It did.
So and she was telling the truth.
She was. And my dad's a great salesman, always has been, but he had been taken advantage of, if some could say. I actually look at it as somebody, from a child's perspective, my daughter had in her mind prepared how she was going to get these things. And then she practiced. I mean, she's been practicing for years. All kids do. You know, they're in the line with you in the grocery store, and they it's practice. And if you give in, guess what? It's going to be asked again and again and again. And then she pursued it with her grandfather. Hey, Grandpa, I need these for my collection. And she was persistent. And those are the four P's, really, of any sale, is to prepare, practice, be pursuant of your goal, your dream, and then be persistent in it and keep going. Even if somebody says, as the quote you read earlier, that's a terrible idea, you keep persisting and you keep going after that dream. You may have to shift course a little bit, but that dream keeps you going. It's not for sale.
My father said to me, he said, if you know what you want in this world and you go after it, the world will step aside and you will achieve it. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I think that that's a little bit of the same message, don't you think?
I think so. And how this relates to our topic today is, you know, we want to pursue more freedom, more opportunity. And the only way you can do that is you have to look at that goal. That goal of something unique, the idea of America is an idea. It's so different in the history of mankind. And so we have to prepare for that. We have to know our history. We have to know to be a good citizen. And too many people today aren't taught civics. And so you have to prepare. You have to pursue that goal constantly. As our former President Reagan said, you know, it's not in the bloodstream. It has to be taught generation after generation. And so we have to keep going after it. We have to be persistent on those ideas of liberty and freedom. And we have to teach our kids because they're not being taught in our public schools, unfortunately. At least not to the level, I think, that it's second nature.
Well, what is being taught in a lot of schools now, and there's many fine teachers, but there are those that are really teaching this whole victimhood. And then because you're a victim, then that means that you deserve things from other people without working for it or doing the four P's that you mentioned about, and that is to prepare and practice, pursue, and have persistence, that you are a victim and that you are just owed something. And first of all, it's terrible for society, but it's terrible for a person as well. And one of the things that Sue Kinfield and I were talking yesterday that she's going to address is, and I've watched this, is there is a difference between living and existing. And if you think you're a victim, it's just existing.
And Sue's a great communicator.
Yes, she is.
And she can really get to the heart of the matter, as you used to say. What's interesting about this, Kim, is that so many people go through their lives and they're not thinking about this, and then something affects them. You know, the smallest minority is the individual. Mm-hmm. It's not the pigment of your skin. It's not a group. It's the individual. And so how does an individual get their message out? How do they help themselves get to where they need to be? And I think it's preparation, reading, reflecting on it, writing. I do that every day. And then you have an opportunity to think and create so you can pursue your happiness. And I think more of us get up a half an hour early, 15 minutes early, and read something. If you do that for...
Or listen to the Kim Munson Show.
Or, exactly. You can do that while you're, you know, getting ready in the morning after your shower. It's important for everybody to turn off the TV and that you don't want to be a world-class expert at the news. You want to be a world-class expert at you and what you're pursuing. And so if somebody could read something 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, in 3 years, you'll be pretty darn good at that subject. In 5 years, you could be an expert. In 7 years, you can be teaching it. Wow. And that's a short period of time on self-education. So the idea of preparing is huge. I mean, we've taught on your mark, get set, go, right? That's getting ready. That's preparing. And we don't do enough of that. We just go through the day.
Well, and you do something fun on Facebook regarding reading.
I do. You never win a battle on Facebook. Maybe some people have, but it's a back and forth and back and forth. So I'll put a book that I'm reading, usually once every week or week and a half, and an adult beverage and a fine cigar that I like to have. And after all the honeydews are done, I'll, you know, do that in the afternoon and put it out there. And I have a little saying or so forth with it. And it creates a conversation because people want to know, okay, what's in the, you know, glass or what's the cigar or what, you know. And I'm not promoting anything. I'm just saying this is something that, you know, people look forward to now to what are you reading, you know. And it starts a conversation. And recently I had an old high school friend start to challenge me on one of the books that I put out there. And we had a little back and forth. It gets to the point, though, you got to know when to stop and say, okay, you had your say, I had my say, and you move on to the next one. Because you can get down to where, you, people, when you write as opposed to being in front of them, react very differently.
Oh, they really do. And so, yeah. And reading, I've always loved to read. Tonight, when we do Candid COVID Conversations, you're going to see part of our book collection. And as I look at those, I hope I live long enough to read all of them because I collect them. I used to read all the time. And I still do, but I just haven't had the opportunity to read books like I used to. We're just about out of time, Brad Beck. It's always great to have you here. Go to my website, kimmunson.com, and you can see Brad's op-ed there, the collection. What's your final thought you want to leave with listeners?
Be observant. Make sure that you're looking at the world that you live in every day and take those things that you're experiencing and write them down because they're great legacy for your kids and your grandkids.
Well, that's for sure. And so, Brad Beck, thank you so much. Liberty Toastmasters, LibertyToastmastersClubs.org is the website for Liberty Toastmasters. Join us. And our quote for the end of the day is Jeffrey Gittimer. He says, "Before you get what you want, you have to know what you want and make a game plan to get it."
Absolutely.
Okay. Today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. You are here for a reason. You have a purpose. God bless you, and God bless America.
Riding high, through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.